Joining us today on Crosswinds, it is my pleasure to have my pal from New York, host of Red Eye on Fox News, the glorious Greg Gutfeld. And hey, Greg, before we get started, congratulations on landing a weekly segment with the big man, O'Reilly. I heard you had a choice between that and bleaching Glenn Beck's albino python each week, and you took the O'Reilly gig. Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time. And by the way, I think it's I think you went over the line saying I was your pal. I barely know you.
Well, that's true, except for, well, yeah, there was that one night in New York and the breakfast at Tiffany's, but I think we talked about that on your show.
So, it didn't work out, and you wanted to be friends, and I said I didn't want to be friends.
Well, maybe you weren't wearing your whole police uniform that night, as I remember, was part of the problem. How's this gig with O'Reilly from the gut? Are you liking it?
Yeah, you know, I've only done it once, and I think it's a great thing, because you know, he's really helping to promote Red Eye. There's, you know, a lot of people at Fox News who watch Fox News who still don't know that Red Eye, you know, is there, you know, because it's on at 3 a.m. So it's really helpful. And, you know, since the events of the last couple of weeks, you know, from the tornadoes to the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, I haven't been on. But hopefully, you know, in the next month or so, we'll be back doing it. But this Friday I'll be on doing the Dumbest Thing segment, which is also a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. Well, O'Reilly's a great guy, and I can tell he likes you, so that's a big gift.
Yeah, you know, I know he likes me because he makes fun of me before each segment. And before he never used to even talk to me. So now that he insults me and makes fun of my clothing, that means he might dislike me a little less than before.
No, you know, it's a term of endearment, I think, with Bill. So congratulations.
That's
a great one, and you do great on there. So your show, Red Eye, which airs at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time weekdays on Fox News, ladies and gentlemen, is kicking ass in the ratings. And I think, are you in your fourth year?
I think, are we going into our fifth? We've done 4 years. We're going into our fifth year.
Yeah, do you feel like you're in a groove with the show now?
I don't think you're ever... I mean, I still get nervous before each show, and you're in a groove in terms of knowing what you're doing, but you never know how the show is going to turn out because there's two variables that change. I mean, you're generally the same as the host. You're generally the same, but the guests and the stories change. So you could have a great show one night and then just pipe it the next, and it's like playing being an athlete, except, you know, I'm not an athlete. I'm incredibly uncoordinated, but, you know, you show up every day to play a game, you know your skill set, but, you know, you could still, you know, go 0-5.
Well, you know, it's probably like comedy, like stand-up comedy in that respect, and it's the same for me. As long as I've been doing it, you never want to get complacent with it, because just when you do, you know, you'll go out and you'll have a night that, you know, you want to jump off a bridge on the way home. So
absolutely. And I think, you know, it's something biological that prevents you from ever feeling good. So you have to, and that makes you do a good job. Because if, you know, I read somewhere a long time ago that, or I could be making this up, I don't know, that criminals have the highest self-esteem. And this, the self-esteem, having high self-esteem actually prevents you from going out and doing good things because you feel you don't have to. And I think, like, as long as you kind of beat yourself up before each show, you tend to have a better show.
What a great philosophy that is, huh?
Yeah.
I can't tell. That could be either Nietzsche or SpongeBob that wrote that, or anyone in between. How did you end up there as host? Because there's a lingering rumor that you were Bill Schultz's landscaper and you opened his mail one day and that Bill was actually supposed to be the host. How did they find you? You were at Men's Health, right? Editor, Max?
Well, I was at Men's Health, editor of Men's Health in the late 90s, but then I became editor-in-chief of Stuff, then editor-in-chief of Maxim in the United Kingdom. And while I was there in London, I started writing for the Huffington Post. I was there actually on their launch. I was one of their first bloggers, and I launched my own website called The Daily Gut, which still exists. And I think people at Fox started reading my stuff, and I had a really good run at the Huffington Post because there were so many people to make fun of, and 90% of the time the people there didn't know I was making fun of them, and it was really enjoyable. And I think that created a fan base somewhere at Fox News Channel, and then they contacted me when I was living in London and said they had this idea about a show, and they weren't even sure. It's pretty amazing how daring FNC is, because it wasn't like it was set in stone. It was like, you know, we're thinking about doing this, and the next thing you know, they were doing it. And wasn't much of an outline. It was just, Greg, come in here, find your friends, and do a show.
It is a daring move for Fox News, and I think, well, you know, I love the show, and everyone, it's catching on everywhere, but it was a daring move for them. I even remembered, because I know Bill O'Reilly for a while for some, you know, Jessica's Law work that we did way back, and I remember even suggesting to his guy that Bill should have some kind of, you know, funny weekly segment, so that, because he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the first several years, he was so uptight that he was kind of frightening, and so it's worked well for them, and of course, your show has been great for Fox. We're speaking with Greg Gutfeld. He's the host of Red Eye on Fox News. Now, Greg, I figure you could probably roast hot dogs over the roof of the Fox News building right now this week with the Bin Laden thing has just set the media on fire. Nice play by President Obama. I've got to give him, you know, kudos for his chops. But maybe they dumped the body a little too soon. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it's like in events like these, I hate doing armchair quarterbacking, because it's like I tweeted immediately, you know, politics be damned, get drunk. And that's. I mean, I don't care who's president. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Obama, but this is awesome. And it's. I said, you know, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an American, and we should all be out there enjoying it. And they did an amazing job getting this scumbag and killing him. And I would say, like, yeah. I mean, looking back after having said that, now I'm going to do the armchair quarterbacking.
Right.
I would have, you know. Kept the body, but you know, I don't know, because they probably have all the proof, you know, that he is.
Yeah, I'm thinking they do too. And then now there's all this stuff about the photo and whether or not to release the photo. I'm in the camp that says not only should we have the photo, we should send it to a taxidermy shop. Mm-hmm. We should have had him stuffed, like crouching behind an ottoman. You know, with a really surprised look on his face. Because that's what we do up here in New Hampshire. You know, if you get a good kill, you mount it like on a rock with some twigs and branches. And
well, you know, I'm not a fan of the argument about not releasing the photo, the idea that it will inflame tension. We can't live our lives like that. We can't live our lives based on a group of radicals and how their feelings might be affected by our behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes no sense. And I think they're conflating, in some ways, conflating Islam with Osama bin Laden, which is what the left has always accused of the right of doing. But they're saying, you know, hey, we don't want to release these photos because it'll upset Muslims. Well, you're assuming that Muslims would be upset by seeing a dead Osama bin Laden? That's an insult to Muslims. So it's weird. There's a conflation going on here that we would often call or label it Islamophobia, but in this case, it's coming from liberals.
But yeah, it really is odd. And I think as the dust and the smoke kind of clears away from this thing, we'll all have a chance to do, like you said, we all hate to armchair quarterback, but we will.
Yeah.
And I know I'll be living in my armchair for the next week. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But, and it's also the, you know, I kept, it's now Wednesday, and it's like,
yeah.
I'm going on before the show, I'm going, there's going to be no politics about this. This is going to be about the mechanics.
The mechanics of it.
Yeah, how it happened, what should be done next. But you just know around the corner, there's going to, inevitably, you're going to be sitting there talking about the politics of it all, and like, you know, how does this help, you know, Obama in the election?
I mean, we're going to be talking about the politics of it before this interview is even over. We actually have some. Do we have that exclusive sound, George? We have an exclusive soundbite, I guess, from Obama just before he was shot. Do we have that, George?
Excuse me, sir. You parked your Blackhawk on my ganja.
You parked your Blackhawk on my ganja? Is that what he was
saying? Excuse me, sir. You parked your Blackhawk on my ganja.
Sorry. This is a real dog and pony show we do up here.
I couldn't hear anything.
It just said that. Excuse me, sir. You parked your Blackhawk on my ganja, or you left.
By the way, you said you a lot of. It's amazing. A lot of people are accidentally saying Osama instead of Obama, which is what you just did.
Constantly.
And I did it in my rehearsal. Actually, it wasn't a rehearsal, but I was reading my Gregalog, and I did it. I think I said Obama's compound instead of Osama's compound, and I said, we have to stop down and do it over again. And I was feeling, God, I'm an idiot, but I was watching the White House briefing. It was happening a lot amongst the reporters, and it's on a lot of channels. I think from now on, I mean, I'm going through our scripts. I'm just saying, say Bin Laden. Just say Bin Laden, because it's just one letter. Was it Obama, Osama? It's one letter.
Everyone is doing it up here on Boston Radio on their big station down there. They've been doing it, and they actually told the host, just say Bin Laden, exactly what you just said. And I just did it too. It's hard to.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of the mechanics versus the politics of it, I mean, I had to hyperventilate into a brown paper bag when I saw those insipid cows on The View swooning over Obama. And look, the fact of it is, Greg, and you know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, this play had been executed under Bush, for one thing. There'd be a much different reaction from the left. They'd be calling it an assassination. And it never would have been possible without the Bush-Cheney policies, which the left abhorred, namely waterboarding, which is what got us the name of the Courier, as I understand it.
I wrote about that on Monday, about how all of these programs and procedures, which are despised by the Eric Holders of the world, are the very things that delivered this amazing feat by this incredible elite covert group of heroes. And an interesting thing is, if you can look back, you know, not even 2 years, when Seymour Hersh's book was we was talking about his book, and I don't even know if it came out. Maybe it did. Saying that, you know, talking about Cheney's secret group of assassins, and the name is the same as this group. So all of a sudden, under Cheney, they're just this secret group of assassins. But under Obama, you know, they're this awesome, you know, military group. And by the way, I believe they're awesome, no matter who they're working
for. I do too. And like I said, I can't take away from the president. Absolutely, a daring, a strong decision on his part, a daring move, because it could have gone bad and been a complete disaster. But there's so many layers to this thing, like Pakistan not knowing that he's there for, you know, 6 weeks. I mean, 6 years.
That's incredible.
Right. That's not even.
I said on the show last night that he's in an unstable area living for 6 years. Nobody lives for 6 years in New York City. You know, I mean, nobody sits in an apartment more than 18 months. So he's basically has a more stable lifestyle than most of the people I know.
Yeah, and who, I mean, besides Bill Schultz, your sidekick, who burns all their trash when everyone else is, you know? I mean, for Bill, obvious reasons, but generally that's a major red flag.
Yeah, well, it's the same reason, you know, why, I mean, well, he kept all the soccer balls that kept getting kicked over the fence. Everything that came into contact with them, they had to destroy.
I hope they have a yard sale of all the stuff that they don't need, because how cool would it be to, like, have a pair of his sandals, which must be the size of snowshoes, by the way.
I imagine they must. I mean, I guess I guess they have to be very careful about memento gathering, you know, but
I'd be happy
sure there's rules against that, right? There has to be.
There probably are, but I mean, I'd be happy even with something like a toenail collection or, you know, almost anything.
You can have one of mine.
Okay, well, that's the runner-up prize.
Yes.
Gutfeld's toenail collection. Well, I believe that Obama, obviously already, he's gotten a major bump in the polls from this. I don't think it seals the 2012 election for him by any stretch of the imagination, because, like everything, you know, Americans, we have a really short attention span. This euphoria will wear off, and then we're going to be right back staring at $5 a gallon for gas. And
yeah, I mean, remember, George Bush, the first one, you know, what was he at, like 90%? After getting Iraq out of Kuwait,
sure,
and I thought that was a horrible, strange thing to see him lose an election. I think obviously, I mean, my opinion always it had to do with Perot and not with Clinton, because Perot just had peeled off a lot of votes,
right?
I think that this will have a significant effect on the elections. If only because when you have a president say he's going to do something and you have that on tape, you have President Obama saying, we're going to capture him, you know, this is one of my goals, and then it happens, very rarely do you have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's...
It's really hard to find that sort of tape, and that's going to be a campaign commercial because it's true. I mean, this is what he said. And this is what happened. And like you said, the culmination, the events on Sunday were the culmination of a lot of hard work from a lot of people. But, you know.
Yeah, there's no question. He gets the gold star for it. And as he should. Because
And again, you know, I mean, people do point out that, you know, they contrast I don't want to inherit Bush's economy, but I want to inherit previous hard work at getting Osama.
Sure.
People are pointing that contradiction out, and maybe so. I don't know. But when you're president of the United States, you get the bad stuff. Sometimes you don't deserve it. You get the good stuff. Sometimes you don't deserve it. This is a great thing, and he gave the go-ahead, and, you know, it was a really proud moment. I was in a bar, and, you know, usually when me and Andy Levy went to a bar tried to get there before Obama began speaking. And it's like, you know, I really was like emotionally, like it was a big deal. And we were in the bar, and you could hear a pin drop in this place. And
it's amazing. I mean, I got choked up. I have to say,
I got choked. When he finished his speech, I just burst into applause, which I'm not that kind of person, but I was then.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it's one of the things I never thought about. For one thing, I was never sure I'd hear that news that we have Osama bin Laden.
I assumed that it was never going to happen.
But one thing for sure is I never thought about what my reaction would be when it happened. And I was watching Geraldo, you know, when they kind of got the news and then they got the confirmation. So well before the president spoke, I called my wife and kids in and said, you know, this is big. This is history. And, yeah, I got choked up because I think it all hit me all at once that, you know, all the people that died on that day in your city, in New York and Washington, all our men and women in uniform that have,
For New York especially, for America, it's great. But being in New York, and I was there. It was just awesome. It was just an awesome feeling of closure. And like you said.
And completely unexpected,
You know? I'd given up on, I figured this guy had either he was already dead and he won in his death by us never knowing, or he's going to outlive us all. But the fact that we got him, we got his body, it's awesome.
Greg, thanks for being with us.
I'll talk to you later, man. Look forward to having you back on the show. You got to let Michaela and I know when you're in town.
I'm available anytime you want. You tell me and I'll be there.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, dude.
I'll see you.
Bye.